I was out in the hallway, and a couple people asked me what topic I was doing. I said illness and recovery, and they hesitated before they hugged me, which is the natural reaction. A lot of myths and misconceptions about illness and recovery. To be honest with you, I really didn't ever think I would want to be the one to talk about illness and recovery. I've been to workshops and conventions all over the country, and I would walk by this meeting, to be honest with you, you know, because I was healthy for years, you know. Matter of fact, a clean date is February 15th, 1986, celebrated 19 years on, you know, a couple weeks ago up in Baltimore. And for 17 of those years, was perfectly healthy. Perfectly healthy. I don't even remember having a cold in 17 years. So the adjustment period, and everybody know about feeling bad, so the adjustment period with feeling bad and not thinking straight, most of my friends, and I've been to a lot of funerals, man. I've been to a lot of funerals. I've been to a lot of hospital beds. We were just talking about it before in the meeting. We're trying to seek a couple of people out in Baltimore now we know are sick because just want to be there for people, you know, cause especially now that I know how I feel when you're sick, you can't get around, and you're feeling isolated, real or imagined, you know. And one thing about being sick, you know, you can hallucinate, literally. You know, you think shit that ain't real. You perceive people in different ways because you don't feel good. Now, you add some medication on top of that, you got a ball game. You know, but I need to say this, if I got to go on record for it, you know, it's funny how high power will use you, because since I've been dealing with different illnesses in the last couple of years, I've met, I mean, dozens and dozens and dozens of people come up to me, and they felt the same way I felt. You know, it's a lot of little stereotypical stuff going on with me, especially because I'm a man, and all my friends, we all talk about the same thing. I don't deal good with dealing with illness. That was something like never wanted to go to the doctor. All those little things that are functional and really something you need to do. I never even been to the dentist. You know, I never even had a cavity, so I never could associate pain and sickness with recovery, because it was all associated with happy times. And the most painful thing I ever had in my recovery was a relationship piece. Of course, that's illness and recovery too. You know, because you're definitely mentally ill when you're in a bad relationship. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's a whole nother recovery piece. You know, matter of fact, I need a group hug thinking about that shit. I just feel bad all of a sudden. Goddamn relationship. But I'm gonna get to that in a second, man. But you know. And when I hear meetings like this, first thing I want to know is, well, what you got? You know what I mean? What the hell you sick from? You know what I mean? Because I think like that. Well, what the hell are you sick from? Because for some strange reason, I want to get this abstract level of measurement on how much are you really dealing with, about what kind of sickness you got. You know, and that's just how I think. And some of y'all think like that too. Y'all ain't want to say nothing until I said something. You know what I mean? Because I want to know what you're dealing with, man. But I'm telling you, I really, because they switched the topics about four or five times on me. So, you know, this is one of them times where you, real or imagined, you just got to believe higher power wants you to do this one, you know? And I got a disorder called sciatica. And some of you guys may not know what that is. I don't have a long time to talk about it, but sciatic nerve is the main nerve coming from your heart, going to all of the other arteries and all the other veins. And it's the main nerve, and it should go down your back and go through your piriformis muscle, been to the doctor, which is your butt muscle. Some of you guys got bigger piriformis muscles than others. But it should go through the muscle down to your legs and distribute. But mine wraps around my muscle several times. It's one of those freak accidents in nature. One in 100,000 people get it, and it's fucking me. I got to say it like that. You know, it's unbelievable. I'm like, how many people? One in 100,000? It's like, that's unbelievable, man. And it started off about 8 years ago, but I dealt with minor pain. But see, we came out the league. When we got clean, we really bottomed out. So our thing was pain, disruption in lifestyles, deprivation. Those things are minor. Stay clean. And then as I got older, it was stay clean and stay out of prison at all costs. That's my job every day. Even 19 years later, stay clean, stay out of prison. Now, that may not be anybody's priorities, but I'm also a recovering criminal. So when you're a recovering criminal, you got to think about staying out of jail. But the only way to stay out of jail that I found out when I got to NA, the only way to stay out of jail is you stop stealing. You know, you know, you can't talk about trying to stay out of jail stealing every day and leading a disruptive, dysfunctional lifestyle. So all those things had to come in play, man. And just recently, on top of the sciatica, I just found out, and this was a like kind of thing, they thought I had hepatitis C, but I don't have hepatitis C, but my enzymes in my liver are so high, they're talking about possible failure. So we're talking about some different tactics to use with that, but that's not the issue. The sciatica issue beat me up. And if it wasn't for the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, the people around me, the people that showed me love, because I try to tell people all the time, and this is something I never really wanted to think about until the last couple of years, every one of us, everybody recovering at one time or another is going to be back on medication at one time or another. Everybody in this room is going to get sick at one time or another in your life. That's just the natural evolution of what we do here. Our issue is, what kind of life do we lead until that moment comes or that time comes? And then you got another decision to make. Even after you get ill, do you still participate with Narcotics Anonymous? A lot of my friends got sick and left. A lot of my friends got sick and started carrying that shame and the stigmas that's associated with some illnesses, you know what I mean, which I feel like shouldn't exist in the 12-step group, because we can't afford to judge nobody, you know. But it happens. And if you hear me say something that sounds negative, it's not about NA. It's just my experiences with some of the members. It has nothing to do with Narcotics Anonymous itself, you know. So some people get that twisted sometimes. But you can experience terrible things here, and that's on the individual that displays that. That's nothing to do with the 12-step process. But I'm 47 years old. In pretty good shape. Got in shape by mistake. You know, I like to sit there and tell you I did this on purpose. You know what I mean? You know, from crunching and exercising and working out. But this is basically deprivation and starvation. You know what I mean? You know. But out of that, so you got to understand this. NA teaches me that anything that happened negative, you can find something positive out of that. So out of my illness, I learned how to fast. And I learned how to exercise. Learned, almost forced to. And I learned how to exercise, and I learned how to fast, and I learned how to eat better. Because when you get sick, they tell you, you know, it's almost like NA. It's like either go to meetings, recover, or die. Well, when you got an illness, you got to either do what they say do, or you're going to suffer some consequences. And since I've been blessed, even though, and I think you can experience things in recovery that you don't even know you're going to need right now. And years will go by, and you will say, wow, you know, I've been here before. I've seen this before. I felt this before. You know, and I've walked through several deaths with my friends, man. My boy Avon died from kidney failure. I watched him, you know, just go from 215 to about 150. A couple guys I know just literally just died. But one thing they had in common that I liked, that they stayed in NA the whole time they were sick, and they died in NA. And that was some violent, that was some like 16 gun salute shit, you know what I mean? Because let's be real, in my mind for a long while, I always thought to myself, shit, if I get sick, I'm just going to get me some liquid met, get a drip, and go home and look at TV. You know what I mean? But see, that's addict thinking. That's dumb. That's suicidal thinking. See, that's mental illness. I'm going to get a drip and just go home and shit. Just call, what y'all doing at the meeting? You know what I mean? But see, but I've learned, I got to say what I think, because even though it don't make sense, somebody else think like that sometimes. You know, especially when I'm in a room with a bunch of people with mental illness. I don't want to call no names or nothing, but, you know, to be an addict, you got to have something wrong with you internally. You know what I mean? It's something something ain't firing upstairs. You know what I mean? So, but the story I tell, man, I mean, I was telling somebody in the hall. See, I don't talk about this a lot, because when I talk about it, I got to connect with it. And when I connect with it, I got to feel it. You know, and I'm sitting there now kind of happy-go-lucky, man, but it was touch and go for a minute. You know, it was touch and go. And I also try to educate people, let them know that I don't care what part, where you at in your recovery, when you start taking narcotics in any form or fashion, you are back in active addiction. You're just trying to control it. That's why they call it pain management. But we know you can't manage addiction. We understand that, but the doctors don't. And my body don't know if JoJo gave it to me from 108th Street or Dr. Johnson with a prescription pad. All my body know is good, narcotics. God damn. You know what I mean? And then in the back of my mind, something said, you keep your clean time too. Shit. You know? So, you know what I mean? So, I mean, and think about it, that's a dangerous license to have, permission to take drugs. And then I passed into that level where I couldn't, don't this sound familiar? I couldn't live with it or live without it. In recovery. But I truly believe that what you do early on in recovery, you're going to need later on. And what you don't do early in recovery, you're going to lack later on in recovery. So thank God I came from a group of men that we went to meetings hard. We shared hard. Wasn't no lollygagging. Where I come from, they would stop you in mid-sentence and say, excuse me, what the hell is you talking about? You want to get a little honest or do you need to sit down? You know, so I needed that because I come from a place where you rationalize stories and make them bigger than they are. And of course, I never own shit because it ain't mine. You the problem. And if you get the hell away from me, I'll be all right. You know, yeah, especially in relationships. That's why it didn't work out too well in that either. But, you know. But the issue is something happened, man. And I went on medication and I've tried like 8 or 9 different medications because the pain is one of those kind of pains where it never goes away. If I sit down, it hurts. If I lay down, it hurts. I hate to say this, but if I'm sexing, it hurts. That was really depressing. That was worth a month in bed alone, you know what I mean? Like, I'm through, you know what I mean? It's over, you know what I mean? But you got to be careful what you pray for. See, I was dealing with a lot of stuff. Now, something happened in the summer of 19... In the summer of 2001, my sciatica level changed and the pain shift. And one thing about pain management, when you're taking medication, as addicts, my tolerance is high. And you build a tolerance to medication. So I might start off taking 10 milligrams. I was taking a drug called Neurontin, which is some of you people know. Okay. Okay, all right then. I feel better since y'all know. I feel comfortable that y'all know, you know what I mean? But what I didn't know is Neurontin is a psychotropic drug also. Didn't know that. Doctor didn't mention that as I was taking 500 milligrams a day of that shit. And I'm in the meeting wondering why I won't choke the chairperson. You know what I mean? Where's this feeling coming from? You know what I mean? So my thing is, man, it was through all those praying and not picking up and going to meetings and having sponsors and having connections. All them little things I took for granted, from getting phone numbers to talking to people to having the ability to have those social skills to talk to people, to introduce myself to people, to move around. And if I didn't have those skills, now I hate to say this, but I know 10 men personally who got sick in recovery and they never made it past the medication piece. I know men in Baltimore and women in Baltimore right now never made it past the medication piece, and they say some of us got to die in order for some of us to live, and it's through their sharing, and it's through me talking to them that I kind of, even though I knew what to do intellectually, that don't match when you're there in that moment, if you know what I'm saying. That's like, people can tell you what to do about your relationship, but when you get home, none of that shit work, you know? You ever had that? What you need to do is go home, do this, say that, and you get home and be like, fuck it. I don't want to say it, you know what I mean? So, picture that. It's the same thing I'm saying now. People was giving me a lot of feedback, but none of that shit worked 3 o'clock in the morning when you're alone. It's something about the morning hours when you're alone, 2, 3, 4 in the morning, when you're alone and you tripping and you talking to yourself. I ain't want to tell nobody that, but 3 o'clock in the morning, you talk to yourself. If you're hurting and you're not used to it, you don't know what to do, you want to get rid of this. Just imagine wanting to get rid of a pain. A knife stuck in your chest and you're walking around with it all day. You know, it's gonna disrupt your lifestyle. So, but it was through this kind of stuff here, man, that I had a group of men around me that I was sharing where it was at. And we did all the techniques we've learned here in recovery, from them holding my medication to them distributing it to me to them calling me every 3 or 4 hours and seeing where I'm at, what am I doing, who am I with. That's very important. What am I doing, where am I at, and who are you with? See, you might get past the first two but fail the third one. You may be downtown. You may be drinking a soda, but you may be with Boo Boo, the drug dealer. See, you got it. That third one is very important. You got to make, who are you with right now? You know what I mean? Are you at a meeting? Are you around recovered addicts? You know what I mean? Do you have a phone with you? All those things became very important that we take for granted, man. And I'm telling you, man, I almost died, man. And here's one of the things, one of the earliest things I learned in recovery is that you go to meetings no matter what's going on with you. Now, if I wouldn't have learned that one, I was done, you know. But see, you got to understand, and we was talking about this today, man. I want to start being more attentive to what people are really saying to me when I say, how you doing? You know, and just as you walking by people, and you'll say, how you doing? And you ain't even waiting for the answer, really, because I've moved on to somebody else. But a lot of times people would ask me how I'm doing, and I really needed to talk. And before I could get it out, you know, we're going down the line like it's the NBA Finals. I really ain't get a chance to say. You know how it is when you're around a big meeting. You're hugging people. You're taking hands. You're really not listening to what people say. Because if you're walking down through a meeting and you say, how you doing? And somebody said, well, I was thinking about killing you. You ain't going to pay that no attention to you. Until you say, you think about killing me, now you'll pay that some attention. You know what I mean? But guess what? When you're dealing with somebody with illness and recovery, what they're literally saying every day is, I'm almost thinking about killing myself. And I don't want to deal with this. You know what I mean? And I've had to try a lot of different stuff, man. But I remember all kinds of tests. I've been from here to Detroit trying to see specialists. And you come to the final conclusion is you can't operate on a sciatic nerve. You can't move it. This is reality. This is how it is. And this is something I'm going to have to adjust with as I go. Now, the last thing we've tried was the cortisone cement blocker shots. And I've had like 6 or 7 series of those, so I'm pretty much pain-free right now. The last 4 months, I've been probably more pain-free than I've been in 9 years. So, you know, I'm sleeping again. I'm doing the normal things again. But, you know, you learn how to adjust, you know. The biggest thing was, you know, and I hate to say this, but this is real. I worried more about what they were saying. And I don't feel good about saying this, but I really did. It really meant something to me what people thought. It really did. But I understand that now. That's why I know it's so important to have people around you that can help you walk through this thing and talk. You know what I mean? I've been in hospitals. I hate the hospital. I hate the hospital, man. So I've been in hospitals where you got to learn little things like just sit still and let it happen. You know, if you didn't have no relationship with God, you'll get one when you get sick. You know what I mean? It's one of them, remember them jackpot prayers for my addiction? If you get me out of this one, I won't do this. Well, you can't say that when you're sick. You can't say, if you get me out of this one, you ain't do shit. I'm just sick. So what you going to get me out of, you know? So I remember, oh, that was pretty funny. Okay. I'm a little sensitive, all right? I'm just playing. But see, you have to understand, too, I'm also a comedian. So I have a hard time not looking at shit in funny ways. I see everything from an amusing kind of funny way. But then one day wasn't nothing funny no more. And I couldn't, and people that know me good, I lost the ability to laugh. I wasn't joking. I wasn't working. And I sell jokes for a living, but wasn't nothing funny. There was nothing to sell. I have no juice. I have no energy. All I could basically do some days, I'm talking about this went on for months, almost a year, all I could do was get enough strength sometime was to get to the meeting. They told me in 1986, February 15th, if you get to the meeting, no matter what your problem is, we probably can help you with it. And I had to believe in that. And then the literature becomes so true during illness. You know, find somebody that believe in you and want to help you in your recovery. 5 minutes? God damn. Okay. Find somebody in your recovery that believe in you and want to help you in recovery. You know what I mean? Just for the day. See, I might feel bad today, but I only got to feel bad today. I had to break it down like that. I can't think about it. I'm going to feel bad next week. I feel bad today. If I get through the day, I see how tomorrow's going to be. You know, it affected my relationships. It affected my work. It affected me financially. I was just, matter of fact, when I got really sick, not only was I dealing with the illness, I had just lost a business, so I was dealing with financial problems. I had lost all motivation. I became homeless, penniless. Oh, my God, it was bad. But you know what? I never stopped going to meetings. I never stopped sharing where I was at. Real or imagined, the ego had to die. And I'm so glad that happened as I think back in retrospect, because I'm so comfortable in my skin again. And it was a time I wasn't comfortable in my skin, if you know what I mean. You can be in recovery and be terribly uncomfortable in your own body. And that's a hell of a way to live, because you can't tell nobody. See, I think when they talk about secrets to kill, they're not talking about them secrets from your addiction. They're talking about them secrets right now. The shit you're not talking about now, the stuff you're not dealing with right now. And like I said, when I talk about it, it becomes real, you know? What, you got 10 minutes? Okay, buddy, you're tripping me out. You're fucking with me now. did he just say 5 minutes now? Now he say 10, okay. All right. I want to make sure it ain't me, all right? Did y'all hear him say 10? Yeah. Whew. Okay. All right, okay. All right, 10 minutes. All right, cool. See, now I got to change my story back up. What the hell was I talking about? Yeah, I mean, even dealing with, even the age issue. I'm 47 years old. I never been 47 years old before. I'm having a, you know, I'm doing better now, but I don't know about the older guys in the room, and don't act like y'all ain't here with me. I see y'all. You know what I mean? This age issue is tripping me out. You know what I mean? I remember I got here at 27. I was a little boy running around just gone crazy and all the things that happened in recovery. We all done that, man, you know. And I talk about that. This is for some of the newer guys. Man, you talking to a guy, man, that has had a hell of a life, man. That's why I can't be mad. I've had a hell of a ride. I'm talking about unimaginable, unprecedented experiences, man. You know, and for the last 19 years, it's been part as far as carrying the message. And the message is sometimes shit don't go right. And guess what? You, like William said, you've been dealt this hand. You better play it out. You know, because after all, you can't quit life. You know, even though I've quit NA a couple times, you know what I mean? I've literally quit. Anybody ever quit NA? I quit NA. I throw my keychains in, turn my basic text, I'm gone, it's out, I'm over. And I get home after a couple of days and say, I really ain't got nothing to do. Shit, I think I'll go back to the meeting, you know what I mean? So, you know, so I come back and I make an announcement, I'm back, and I'm like, sit down, Trey, you know what I mean? You know you weren't going away anyway, so. You know, but what I want to stress the most is during illness, and they say it's a mental, physical, and spiritual disease. So we're talking about mental illness too now. We don't talk about that a lot in this fellowship. We're talking about mental. Now, all you got to do is think about some of your friends and recovery mates. Some people have issues, and I have issues too. But my issues, it's funny, you don't think your issues bother anybody but you. That's funny how that is, you know? People got to literally tell me, especially in relationships. Let's get the relationship for a minute. We got about 7 minutes. Let's do about 3 minutes on relationships. It's about all we can stand in here, man. It's something. Ain't nothing worse than a bad, empty relationship. Nothing in the world. Nothing in the world. Now add feeling bad on top of a bad, empty relationship. Then add feeling bad on top of an empty relationship with no sex. Then add no sex on top of an empty relationship, feeling bad with no money. Give me a moment. Oh, damn. Oh, man. Fuck. Are you kind of getting what I'm saying? Excuse my language, but I'm fucked at this point. You know what I mean? And you get paranoid. I can remember times because I'm tripping. You got to understand, I'm not trying to play it down. I'm gone. But I'm in recovery, you know. And I remember I stayed on the medication, man, almost 22 months, man. 22 months, you know. So what? No, just walking away. At this point, I'm addicted in recovery. Now, I got to go to detox because they got to detox you a certain way because it's in the withdrawal that you use. It's not that you just go out and use. It's in the withdrawal. It's a physiological phenomenon, the disease of addiction. It's made up on certain symptoms and stuff. And one of the symptoms is that you suffer withdrawal when you take the drugs away, like y'all don't know. Like I'm talking to a bunch of laymen, you know what I mean? Like, what is withdrawal? You know? So. I go in detox, that was crazy. See, we're talking about ego now. See, because now I got to go down to the detox, and I got guys in the fellowship who are professional counselors working with me, and they're walking me through this stuff. And I'm going to tell you one thing. I remember it came to a head. See, one thing about being on medication, recovering, being ill, disease of addiction is a self-diagnosable disease. Unlike other diseases, when you get sick, the doctor tells you where you're at in the disease, what level it's at, what's going on. With the disease of addiction, you got to be the one to tell yourself you're in trouble. Can't nobody do that for you. And without tools and prior learning experiences and a good support group, you may not recognize you're in trouble. Are you getting what I'm saying? So I had to really stay around some healthy people that were really paying attention to me and really watching me. You know what I mean? And I remember they had to detox me. That was a hell of an experience. I'm sitting in detox. The first 3 days I had to go because of blood pressure issues and stuff. I had to stay in the hospital the first 3 days. I'm sitting in the room, you know, and you know how it is early in recovery. I'm sitting around 20 other addicts with no clean time, and they looking at me like, yeah, right, 19 years, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, whatever, nigga, you in detox with me. You know what I mean? You're like, no, what happened was, whatever, Trey, you know what I mean? You know, but I want to talk about something that really hurt me, that it was times where I was sharing where I was at, and people were misconstruing it and taking it out of context. And, okay, let's say, in recovery, you know people do things like that, and you can deal with that kind of stuff. But I'm an addiction in recovery. I'm feeling I'm 16 times sensitive than normal. So I need a lot of love. So my message is to people, when people are ill or feeling bad or going through little transitions like that, man, they need a lot of love, man. Need a lot of attention, you know, because it hurt me that my friends would go back behind my back and say, you know, Tracy using. After I just shared, I'm on medication. You know what I mean? See, that's just vicious. You know, I know I can handle that, but it's other people that can. See, so I always tell people, when you get people treating people bad in recovery, that's not an isolated incident. They treat everybody like that. That's not just against Tracy R. See, I'm not that self-centered to believe they just out for Tracy R. You treat everybody like that. If you treat me bad, you treat everybody bad in one way or another. So it really got my attention as far as watching what I do, watching what I say to people. It definitely took me to the point where after the detox, it was like, I'm literally, you got to understand this now, it was like I was literally learning how to live drug-free again. Psychologically, it felt like that. I just didn't feel sure. You ever been unsure of yourself in recovery? I just didn't feel solid like I had for all those years, and I had to stay really close to people, man. And I remember not sleeping for weeks at a time. You know what I mean? I'm already a chronic insomniac. I'm the kind of guy that's up to 3, 4, 5 in the morning. You know, drive my mates crazy because they want to know what the hell are you doing in there. You know, I just can't sleep. I'm one of them guys. I don't sleep. I do my best work 1, 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning because of my lifestyle. I'm up at night. For the last 15 years, I would be up 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning working because I'm a comedian and I've traveled around the whole country and did a lot of good stuff, man. But the bottom line is, man, this convention, I'm using this as a mark and I'm ready to stop. It's a part in here, we read it every day in the meetings. It says our disease always resurfaces. It didn't say maybe. It didn't say could. It didn't say might. It didn't say get a car and it won't. It didn't say get some clothes and it won't. It didn't say get a relationship and it won't. It says our disease always resurfaces. You just don't know when. My job is to get ready for that day when and if it is going to resurface at one point. And it could come through a lot of different ways. And most of the time what I've seen is that I have never had a problem that I didn't cause or could have did some preventive things to stop it. I usually go into some issues and then want to work on it. It's like in relationships, especially among the men. Let's go just for me for a minute, man. We want to work on relationships after they're over. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know. That's what we do. We work on relationships after they're over. See, now we're already apart. Now I want to buy flowers. See? Now I want to buy gifts. Now I want to come home early. Right, men? Now I want to come home early. You know, it's too late, you know. So that's what it reminds me of dealing with illness recovery. You got to get prepared. Now, like, I'm 47. Now, I don't know what the age expectations of normal men, my age, man, but I know that I need to say that. I'm scared. I'm really scared, man. I have not, N.A. has been so wonderful. We never talked about death. We never talked about, you know, going to the next level. We never talked about age. When the last time you've been in the meeting and everybody's on the same accord about getting old and age? And that's just like it's something one of them things, like if you don't talk about it, you ain't got to deal with it. If you don't bring it up, you ain't got to feel it. Because whatever I talk about, I feel it. And sometimes I don't want to feel all that kind of stuff, man. But it's changed my life. It changed my relationship life as far as dating. For the first time in my life, I'm not dating right now. I'm not dating. I'm not seeing anybody. That's a first for Tracy R. But it had nothing to do, see, now on a good day, I can make it sound all spiritual and shit, and I decided to sit still and let the God of my understanding work in my life. No, that ain't it. I was just too goddamn tired. Go ahead, girl. Let's go. I was just too goddamn tired. And then next thing I know, 4 or 5 months went by, and I realized, see, I don't know about you. I don't want to be facetious, but I very seldom sit down, put a plan together about changing and recovery, and then get up in the morning and say, okay, I got my plan. Let's go. I'm going to change this today. I'm going to change this. Consequences usually force me to, you know, give certain areas of my life attention. And what I realized in the middle of the sickness, in the middle of the deprivation, in the middle of the business gone, in the middle of all the other shit, what I realized is I had, my patterns were undisputable with that bullshit. Okay, we cut. With that bullshit. So I decided for the first time in my life to really, we hear it all the time, can't get a relationship with nobody else, you get a relationship with yourself. Well, goddamn, I hate to be the one to beat a whole horse, but damn, that's so true. But you know how many times I've tried to be in relationships and wasn't even myself. Wasn't even feeling good about myself, man. So what it teaches me, man, is staying committed. I really didn't talk. I guess I could have talked about other stuff, man, but this is really only the second time I've even talked about this publicly. You know, I talk about it among my group, among my members. Everybody in my immediate circle know what's going on. But, you know, the feelings I get walking into a meeting, even on my worst day, was still enough to make me keep coming back, make me keep believing in the process. It's old school spirituality. I don't believe nothing happens by mistake. I just don't know why it's happening and what connection it has with carrying this message. I know we made a decree years ago is that we decided to get clean and we weren't going to never leave. And I still go to meetings to this day. So for the newcomer, before I stop, it's still about showing up. It's still about helping somebody. You still and if sometimes helping ain't got nothing to do with money, helping ain't got nothing to do with none of those things. Sometimes it's just your time. We talk about this a lot. It's a big meeting in Baltimore. And, you know, in the beginning of the meeting, they ask the newcomers to, you know, identify themselves and say who you are. But we noticed after the meeting, all the newcomers were standing alone up front, and all the older members was out doing what we do, dating, you know, tripping, all the other stuff. So it really made me pay attention to that's a significant part of the meeting when newcomers raise their hand in the beginning of the meeting and say, I'm Joe, and I just got out of treatment, and somebody got to be there because they definitely dealing with illness and recovery. You know, on all aspects of it. So it's changed my life, man. I'm going to listen to the sister share, and we had came in, we was comparing illness, and I was like, what you got? You know what I mean? 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 You know, because you want to know, you know what I mean? What you got? You know what I mean? You know? Mine worse than yours, you know what I mean? You know, people want to compare illnesses and shit. Oh, that ain't nothing. I died 3 times on the operating table. Like, damn, you did? Wow, you know what I mean? So, you know, thanks for allowing me to start my process, because that's what it is. It's the start of a process, and the process never ends. I never dream, because we was even joking here. I call it my career. My NA career has taken me, you know, to and fro, man, but I never would have thought that at the end of the day, it's 19 years later, and I've ducked all those things that go along with active addiction. And in the end of the day, I got to remember that the biggest resource that I was missing out of my life, it wasn't money. I had money. I had things. I had no connection to higher power. So the biggest resource I was lacking was the one that was going to help me the most, but I got to that last, if you know what I mean. You know, so I want to thank everybody for being attentive. And, you know, we're going to keep coming back. All right? Yeah.